studying God's Word that we might abound in grace. This is Abounding Grace. Join us. Again, welcome to the broadcast. Abounding Grace is the name of the program. Our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, takes us to God's Word each and every day here on Abounding Grace with a few moments of encouragement and exhortation from God's Word. Make it a point to join us today as we study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved, encouraged in Christ, growing in our walk with Him. Here now, from United Reformed Church of Linden, our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, with this edition of Abounding Grace.
Well, thank you for being with us today for another edition of Abounding Grace on this Friday session. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. And again, we are here to discuss doctrines of the Christian faith, subjects that are of interest to you. You may email us and we would be happy to take them up on this Friday session as we have sort of a roundtable discussion of the doctrines of the Christian faith, practical theology, all those things that encompass the Christian life. So today, last week we took up the subject of the forgiveness of sins, God's forgiveness of our sins. Today we're going to take up the subject of the responsibility that we have as Christians to forgive one another. There's a lot of baggage surrounding forgiveness today, a lot of struggles with people who have been hurt, damaged, sinned against. What is our responsibility as Christians in terms of forgiveness? And you can't really start this subject today without going back to what we considered last week and first looking at, again, God's forgiveness toward and for our sins. So Wes, highlight a little bit of what you started with last week in looking at Jeremiah chapter 31 in the forgiveness and the Lord remembering our sins no more.
Sure, Chris. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. That's Jeremiah 31:34. And we noted last time that there's a rhetorical device used there called parallelism. So, for I will forgive their iniquity is explained by the fact that their sin I will remember no more. And we noted last time that that idea of remembering no more, forgetting really, is not like the kind of forgetting where you forgot where you put your car keys or something of that nature. It's taking something out of the way so that it's no longer an obstacle to a relationship. So when God says, I will forgive their iniquity, ultimately those words are fulfilled in Jesus Christ and His redemptive work. And when God says this, He's saying that our sins will no longer form an obstacle to us having a friendly, healthy relationship with Him.
That's a wonderful explanation of that. And we looked at it a little bit last week, Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He is made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. I mean, this is done in the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And I believe strongly, this is one of the great arsenals against the attacks of the devil, is for the Christian to go on living knowing that He has been totally and utterly forgiven through Christ's shed blood on the cross. Mm-hmm. And yet, since the presence of sin still remains, the Lord calls us to approach the throne of grace daily, to be renewed in His promises, to confess our sins, to be assured of our forgiveness, and to go forth in the power of the Spirit to put to death now the deeds of the flesh as the new man, the new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Wes, as we talk about the new creature in Christ, what that means is that that bearing and that understanding of God's forgiveness towards us has a bearing on our relationship towards one another.
Right. It can't help but.
It can't help but. And so if one has truly been forgiven in Christ, he is going to express that same sort of forgiveness to his fellow neighbor.
Of course, because we have union with Christ. We're joined to Him through faith and through His Holy Spirit. And so the life of Christ is going to be reflected in the way we live our lives as well.
So what is Christ's attitude toward forgiveness? What about those who don't forgive? I think we get an immediate sense of this in Matthew chapter 18, where Peter came up to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? So he's saying, look, okay, if my brother keeps on doing the same thing against me, keep sinning, isn't there a point at which, Wes, I don't have to forgive anymore? I mean, isn't that the sense of Peter's question?
That definitely seems to be what he's trying to get at here. But then the Lord says, I do not say to you up to 70 times, but up to 70 times seven. And I think one of the things we recognize here is the, again, rhetorical devices that the Lord Jesus is using. Forget about counting the number of times. It's the fullness. You just keep doing it until it's not necessary anymore.
Right. And it's such a reaction. Wes and I were just talking, you know, to something that happened in Genesis, where Lamech in Genesis chapter 4 boasts against God. Remember, Cain murdered Abel, and the Lord set a mark on him. Whoever avenges Cain, vengeance shall be taken sevenfold. Mm-hmm. And then Lamech comes along, murders a man, and says, no, if Cain is avenged sevenfold, then let Lamech be avenged 77-fold. Well, here is man not forgiving, taking vengeance and justice into his own hands, scoffing God. This is the natural man. He's always at enmity with his brother. He hates his neighbor. He's always in fights. He's always ready to take out the neighbor. But Jesus calls the Christian to something totally different. Up to seven times, says Peter? No, 70 times seven. It's indefinite. Mm-hmm. Always forgive. If that neighbor keeps coming to you seeking forgiveness, or what about if he doesn't? The Lord says your attitude to him has to be one of forgiveness, in that you are to love your enemies.
That's exactly right, Chris. And we struggle with that. It is so difficult to be able to do that. And I think that's why the Lord Jesus, he also added a parable to try and emphasize this point. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents is equivalent to, what was it again?
Millions.
Millions. An unbelievable amount. Astronomical amount. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children, all that he had, and that payment be made. Forgiveness is based on the idea that payment has to be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt.
That is such an important section, because that pictures there God's forgiveness of the sinner. When the sinner comes to the Lord and on a broken and contrite heart, and he humbles himself in God's sight, and he lays the sins before him, and he asks for mercy, the Lord blots it out.
He's moved with compassion.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Those are beautiful gospel words.
And released him from the bondage of being in debt to another master.
Exactly. He didn't say, well, you go off and you can, you know, pay me back at a rate of interest and so forth. He released him from everything, forgave him the debt entirely.
Wiped it out.
Amazing.
But then what happens? Go ahead.
But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is hardly anything
Pennies.
Compared to what was before. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Exact same words that the other servant had used with his master. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. Really, what the other one deserved as well. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. And then verse 35 of Matthew 18, here comes the clincher. So my heavenly Father also will do to each of you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses.
The key there is from the heart, isn't it?
That's right.
That is such an important statement. From the heart. Oftentimes we hear, well, unless someone comes to me and asks, I don't have to forgive. That totally rails against everything the Bible teaches. When did Christ forgive us? While we were yet enemies, Christ did what? Died for us. So Christ took the initiative on his part, in his heart, to lay down his life for us. Had we asked at that point?
And, you know, you think of Christ hanging on the cross as well. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Did all those Romans and Jews, did they ask Jesus to forgive them for what they had done to him? Obviously not. but yet he still asked the Lord's forgiveness for them, for what they were doing to him. And if we are in Christ, if we are united to Christ, that should also be our way of life. That should be our way of dealing with those around us.
You know, that's a good point, because Jesus is looking at things as a whole here. Again, here's that crucial relationship of justification and sanctification, because you often have these strong statements. For instance, Matthew chapter 6, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." There it sounds as if I don't first forgive, then the Lord won't forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, Jesus is looking at things as a whole. If someone is unable to forgive somebody else, then it's very telling that their heart is not right with God in the first place, and therefore, how can the Father forgive them when right. they go and ask for forgiveness of their own sins?
Our forgiveness of others is to be the fruit of the forgiveness that we have received from God. And again, we could draw that back to the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." There's a relationship between God's forgiveness of us and our forgiveness of others as well.
Right. In Luke chapter 17, the Lord Jesus said it very clear. It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, that he should offend one of these little ones. And then he says this, "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." That is Jesus' attitude towards forgiveness. And we proclaim the forgiveness of our sins in the Lord Jesus Christ every Sunday at the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. Tell us about that, Wes.
The Langley Canadian Reformed Church meets at 9:30 and 2 o'clock on Sundays. If people want more information, they can go to our website, langleycanrc.org. You can also give me a phone call if you'd like more information, 604-220-7718.
Well, thanks for joining us today, and may the wonderful gift forgiveness in our Lord Jesus Christ and his wonderful gospel continue to richly bless you.
Well, our desire in our brief time together each and every day here on Abounding Grace is to encourage you in Christ, and we trust today's broadcast has done that, even in a small way. If you have questions or comments about today's program, maybe a thought or two about what we've discussed today, would you please contact us? We'd love to hear from you. Your letters and phone calls mean a great deal to us. It's a great way of encouraging us as we seek to encourage you in Christ. The phone number, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about United Reformed Church of Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities here at the church, please stop by our website. We even have some of the sermons by Pastor Chris Gordon there that you can review and listen to at your convenience. LindenURC.com is the website. Again, LindenURC.com. And as you stop by, would you drop us a quick email? Let us know you paid us a visit. That would encourage us a great deal. Again, the phone number, 360-318-0429. And if you would like to join us for worship here at United Reformed Church of Linden, we're located at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. Directions and the map are located at our website, lindenurc.com, or you can call us, 360-318-0429, for those directions. And if you do visit us, would you let one of the ushers know that you were invited by the broadcast? That would encourage us a great deal. If you'd like to write to us, just add Abounding Grace and the zip code 98264 to that address, 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington, and we'll be sure to correspond with you in kind. We do thank you for joining us today, and trust we'll see you again next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.